of Beam Me to Sick Bay. I'm Mira, your host. I'm here with Mufriz.
I love Star Trek, The Next Generation.
And Haith.
I love Star Trek, the original series.
No, you don't. you were supposed to, it'd be funnier if you'd said, I hate Star Trek, The Next Generation. Ha ha. No, but seriously, though, you don't like this episode? Ace was just telling us he hates this episode.
No, it's not what I said. not what I said. It wasn't even close. This is why I hate Star Trek, The Next Generation. all those fucking nerds, they take your words.
Star Trek is all about taking things out of context.
No, I adore the way this episode is laid out and the perspective. I love, like, through almost the entire episode, it's told from the perspective of I didn't write down the name of the species here.
Marconians.
The Marconians.
We're talking about First Contact, by the way, in season four.
I love that it's told from the perspective of the Marconians in treating the Enterprise crew as aliens, which they are in this context. I think that's awesome. And I think I really like the direction it goes until where it just becomes kind of like boring conflict where
we just have to tie this up and we
got squabbling over Riker. And it kind of doesn't really resolve, it just ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just Crusher shows up, let's get him. besides that though, like the first two-thirds of this episode I thought were like fantastic.
I mean, once you pass the scene, you know, the scene, like it's just all downhill from there.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. There's something on here on this Wikipedia here that says apparently this was a Gene Roddenberry rule that you're not allowed to show it from the opposite perspective. And they said, okay, you can break this rule one time, but that's it.
You know what? Gene Roddenberry is probably on his fucking deathbed right now. Well, no, it's not a stupid rule because like
a good episode.
You want that consistency with a TV show, right? Like you have to have those rules so that your overall show is consistent. Yeah. Unless you're going for something that is going to be more of a what's the word? Fuck. When something's an assortment of variety, I don't know. If you're going for something that's like that, then that's different. But like you do need some kind of consistency in a show like this, especially where you're doing like a different plot every week.
On a very special episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah, but it is like it also just makes it all the more impactful when you do decide to do something like this and you make it from the aliens' perspective. And I think there was a quote from somebody saying here, like, yeah, we broke the mold on this one where they had to just make a bunch of sets to be like, yeah, we're on the alien planet that's kind of like 20th century Earth, but it's alien.
And that stuff, especially like before Picard shows up and like before they really kind of formalize things with Yale, I really love how it's just seemingly like, you know, it's not quite our level of technology, obviously, but like this sort of near future species is dealing with like, oh, fuck, there are aliens. Oh, fuck, there are aliens among us. What the fuck are we? What do we do about
what?
This? I'm not gonna let, no, I'm not going to qualify that. And it's like, how do you deal with that? Like, that's a weird, like that's interesting. I think I wish they leaned more into like the mystery of it from their end, and that Picard didn't show up like 10 minutes into the episode.
I think this is one where when I was younger or like 15, 20 years ago, it would be one where like, why are these guys all so stupid and reactionary? This is dumb. Why are they so stupid? And now today I'm like, yeah. That's
pretty spot on. Yeah.
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 If you just found out there is an alien living among your species because they got bonked on that. Do we ever find out what happened to Riker, by the way?
He was in a riot and he just got fucking destroyed in a crowd. You know,
oh, I missed that. Well, I was right.
Yeah, he mentioned in the very beginning of the episode after the opening, he's like, oh, yeah, I was in a riot right as the police came. So he just got somebody smacked him in the face or something.
I see.
A little beat up. He probably got trampled or something. I don't know. Whatever happens in riots. He
got ran over by the cops.
Could have gotten run over by the cops. Anyway, Riker's fucked up. That's what the lesson is.
Yeah. Anyway, like this episode, wish it was more about the aliens and less about the Enterprise, but I get it.
Yeah, I mean, it is as much about the aliens, I feel like, as they could possibly do in this show.
Yeah, you know, I totally get it. I'm not really faulting the showrunners, because you got to run a goddamn show with Picard and the Enterprise crew. I get it. But I feel like I feel like there was something a little more they could have done with it, especially towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. The end does kind of peter out, but I agree. It's just it's a solid episode. It's a solid sci-fi premise.
Absolutely. This is great, great sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, and I like the Marconians too, because it's kind of like an interesting question of like, what if you had this people who their technology is more advanced than like our human 20th century technology, but like socially they remind me a lot of like the how America was in the 50s, you know, with the Red Scare and with like fears of communist spies everywhere.
It's very like I think this is not my own comparison that I'm stealing it, but this is very the day the earth stood still.
Yeah.
Kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's that kind of era. And you know, kind of the just like everyone's distrustful of everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who was it that, like, to me, this they're, despite them not really like displaying a specific religion, like kind of in the deck, it reminds you a lot, or reminded me a lot of like 1500, 1600 sort of Catholic Church. You know, Earth is the center of the universe. Everything revolves around us, and that sort of way of thinking, which I think seems very difficult to like. If you are a scientifically inclined society, I don't know how you get to that point, because you have to realize that literally things do not revolve around you.
Well, I didn't know how literally she meant that when she said it, because we're talking about how they refer to at one point the Marconians believe they're a supreme being and that they are the center of the universe. But you could say that about humans today, you know,
sure,
like
sure.
We know we're not literally the center of the universe, but we may as well be, because, you know, we don't, as far as we technically know, there's not aliens out there. So, I mean, we're kind of it.
Okay. Full stop. You know, fucking, I'm going to pull the parking brake out here. Either of you believe there are aliens out there? I'm not even asking like just like, oh, do you think there's like microbes out there that's living on a fucking rock? Do you think there is other intelligent life out there? Not even necessarily like, you know, spaceships or whatever, just intelligent life. They don't have to be watching us. They just have to exist outside of, you know, past the earth somewhere.
Yes.
Out there.
Yes, man. Absolutely. But I definitely think they're very unlike us. Like the science fiction always portrays them as like, oh, they're kind of human-like but not really, you know. And I'm sure whatever other intelligence life out there is extremely different than what we can imagine.
Yeah, I think it's mathematically, just because of the infinite universe, there's got to be someone out there somewhere. But whether they are anywhere in our, you know, any realistic distance to us is another question.
Yeah, like could they even be in the Milky Way to begin with, or are they just in some other galaxy far out there? Huh? I think it, like you said, mathematically there has to be another planet that has to be able to support life, and at some point along the way it's going, you know, life is going to survive long enough for there to be intelligent life to be formed. Who knows what that looks like? Maybe it's just a bunch of fucking squid people that could hold 20 cell phones all at the same time, watching Mr. Beast, or I guess Mr. Squid, all day.
Squid Games.
Mr. Got, Squid Beast.
Oh, they got Beast Games over there. Holy shit.
Oh.
Who knows? But I think, yeah, I think absolutely there is life out there. We will never encounter it, though. Ever. I think that
not in our lifetimes, I feel like. I mean, I don't think that we... humanity as a whole will never ever encounter other intelligent life form, because that's very pessimistic. Let's pretend that we're gonna live for tens of thousands more years and we're gonna be traveling space, and we'll meet some intelligent life out there someday.
Do you believe any of the conspiracy theories of like Roswell or any of that stuff, or do you think it's all bogus?
We saw in Men in Black that it was true.
Didn't you watch the movie? There's a Deep Space Nine episode actually that addresses this, Hayes. So you'll have to true. Watch that's Deep Space fucking Nine. True. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
but I don't know. I'm reluctant to say what I really believe while we're being recorded and our friends are going to be listening to this because I will be made fun of for my beliefs.
That's the entire reason I'm at, not to have you be made fun of. I should qualify that.
Wow.
But I'm serious. Like, I think it's good to be.
This is a like, safe place.
But we're recording it and publishing it. That's not a safe it's place out safe. There. Okay. Well, let me tell you then. Okay. So here's the deal. So I don't know about Roswell and any of that shit. That was probably a weather balloon. Who knows? But there have definitely been a lot of like alien sightings and people having weird encounters with alien beings. But that has also been going on for hundreds and hundreds of years in human history. And so that you could say like, that's, you know, maybe there is some alien extraterrestrial life form that's reaching out to us. But I think it's not an extraterrestrial life form so much as I think it's an extra dimensional species of some kind. You sure. know what I mean? Because there's so much about this universe that we don't understand and we don't fully know. And there's just been all of these consistent human experiences with these other beings that I think there's something to that. But I don't know. Like, I'm not going to say like, oh yeah, there's definitely that kind of shit exists because I don't fucking know, but it seems plausible to me that like, that there is other intelligent life that isn't necessarily from another planet, but maybe just from like another dimension.
I've always like I've never believed in like ghosts, but I've always believed in like you said, like kind of almost cross dimensional, not beings, but as much as like I don't know, just. Something out there exists. I feel like there's like so much stuff that we can't perceive mm-hmm. necessarily yeah. and be impossible to even think of how you would even perceive things past like our fucking five senses. So
yeah, that's what I think about when I think about like real, like really alien kind of beings is, are they even, you know, are they even in the same kind of physical bounds that we are, or are mm-hmm. they play by different rules? Who knows? You know, it could be like that.
And when you read those encounters that people would be, because that was such a big thing back in the 90s too, was you know, my encounter with a alien, or I was abducted and here's my story, and there was TV shows and TV specials about it and all that, but mm-hmm. that very like unreal element to it, you know, where you don't necessarily think that there is a fully physical thing to it, which leads a lot of people to think that these people are just, you know, having a hallucination, and maybe there's something to that as well. But I don't know. I'm just rambling at this point. I don't fucking know anything. That's my stance.
Here's what I do know is that I think that little gray dudes are awesome. I wish they existed.
I don't, because I think they're scary.
I love little gray dudes. Yeah, they're fun.
Grays are fucking horrifying, dude. Grays are the ones that'll like probe the shit out of you.
Yeah, but in XCOM, you can blow their heads off real easy. It's fine.
All right. Well, as long as we have XCOM weapons, it's fine.
I'm just putting it on the record. As soon as we find real aliens, I'm going to fucking cancel Mira for this episode.
Why?
Because you are wrong.
Oh, that's fine. You were wrong.
You said there would be the wrong kind of alien.
No. You don't have to cancel her. That's where you do the laughing point thing.
What? This is my show.
Beer didn't even know what aliens looked like.
They're purple and they got wiggles.
Okay.
You can quote me on that.
All right.
Are you just picturing all aliens in like squiggle vision?
Yes. If you were an alien, wouldn't you be squiggle visioned? I keep wanting to make a new VTuber, but I want to do it in squiggle vision. And I'm like, how the fuck do I even do that?
There's got to be a way.
There's got to be a way, but how difficult would it be? I don't know.
You'd probably have to, I mean, like, you would have to have, like, compromises, because the way Squiggle Vision works is very much like there's no tweening at all, but you need tweening for VTuber models.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Star Trek. I'm sorry to have derailed us here, but
I mean, we're on topic for the episode though. We're talking about alien encounters and shit, and that's
yes. It was just something I was kind of thinking about watching this episode. It's like, fuck, man, aliens gotta exist. They gotta exist. But they do not exist now, and they don't exist during the filming of this episode. So, let's...
You know, is Riker's girlfriend on the holodeck VTuber? When you think about it.
No, because she's not a human behind some... she's not a real person, McFreeze. She's AI.
She is an AI manifestation of a random species. This is like Ada.
I was informed she was real in his mind. Excuse me.
Yeah, but she's not. That's different. Like a VTuber is like somebody piloting a puppet that happens to be an anime girl or whatever. You know, it's different.
Riker is in love with the personification of the Bynar's Synology backup.
Yes, that's correct. It's hot.
It's true, though.
It's really hot.
That's what it is.
So let's talk about this episode in more plot detail, I guess. This episode is like, it's good to talk about more in a theoretical stance because the plot does get kind of boring. You just kind of go over the keynotes of here. We've pretty much talked about it. They're doing the first contact mission, but let's get into it. First contact. This is the season 4, episode 15. First aired on February 18th, 1991. The teleplay, oh boy, was written by Dennis Russell Bailey, David Bischoff, Joe Manosky, Ronald D. Moore, and Michael Piller. And the story was by Mark Scott Zakrie. It was directed by Cliff Bull, and the in-universe date is unknown. We don't have a start date for this one.
So I'm guessing this had a very easy development if it had like 20 fucking writers on it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they just whipped it right out.
There was a good note here that says, at one point, the story was considered to be the season cliffhanger, and in another, called Graduation, it was to have been Wesley's final episode, in which he was going to remain on the planet following the mission.
Would have been fucking better than what we got.
No, it wouldn't have. Why would he remain? Why? What point would it be?
I assume because latter half of this episode would be much different if Wesley was an active participant.
Well, yes.
Yeah, he would have saved the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would have personally done the surgery on Riker.
He would have
seen my mom done this. I can do this now.
He would have shot Krilla, but he would have left it on vaporize.
He would have personally undertaken the mission that got Riker out of the hospital bed. You know the one I'm talking about.
You can't say that. Look, that's not right.
He's old enough.
He is old enough now, probably. I don't know. He might still be a minor. I don't remember how old he is, to be honest. But then we wouldn't have had BB New Earth, and that would have been a loss for all of us. So
true.
This episode starts with us in an alien ER. It looks like a 20th century ER, but it's slightly different and more alien. You can tell because there are aliens in it.
I like the first thing you see is they're wheeling some mysterious person down in on a gurney. And the heart monitor type gizmo just has the wave painted on it. It's good.
It's a fucking EKG. It's a fucking EKG wave thing. But it's just painted on there, which does not seem useful.
It's pretty useful.
You know, have you ever tried to make a whole 10 bunch of sets? I think they did their best.
Yeah.
They did their best.
This was meant to show on TV one time on a tiny little screen over the radio, over radio waves, you know. This is not meant for HD Blu-ray-ness.
They did. I think they made sure very pointedly to show you that everything here is on CRTs and to not film them quite perfectly so that you can tell that everything's a CRT, so that you know what era of technology we're in. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yes. And the doctors are talking about this patient too, and I really love this dialogue where I can't find his cardiac organ, and they're like looking at his stomach, like, wait, it's up here, In his digestive tract?
What?
And they're like, he's missing 3 struts on his left side and 4 struts on his right side. What the hell? And then they one of them holds up his foot and is like, have you ever seen anything like this before?
But what are struts supposed to be? Are struts like ribs in this context, I guess?
Ribs, yeah.
I really, because they said costal, which is ribs.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they also say he's got digits on the terminus of his leg. Because they don't just call them feet and toes. Because they don't have toes. Like, if you didn't have toes, you'd call them digits. That's cute. I like it's a good little alien detail.
We do get to see their hands. And how would you describe those for me real fast?
They got some fucked up claw hands.
They got turtle flippers.
They got turtle flippers.
They do have turtle flippers. They should have little turtle shells.
You know what he should have done? He should have held up the foot and said, this thing is digital, baby.
No. They didn't have Yik yet. They couldn't make Yik references. And nobody should make Yik references.
If I don't do it, who will?
That's a good question. That's a good question. We'll move on. Oh, but they're just like, man, what are you? And they look at it, and then the camera reveals it's Riker with some alien shit on his face.
I actually, this is sad for me, Hayes. I didn't recognize him at first because of the shit on his face, but also... maybe I'm making this up now. I thought he had did he have a white streak in his hair or something?
No, there was that episode where he was in the future, quote unquote, and he had a white streak in his hair then.
I know. Okay, maybe I'm making this up. For some reason, I didn't recognize him like right away. I was like, is that Riker? Yeah, I guess that's Riker.
He was pretty fucked up, to be fair.
He had a big old scar on his face.
He's got bruises everywhere.
That cut just magically goes away, by the way.
He's in a hospital. It's not magic. They heal him.
Yeah. What do you mean? Cuts don't just go away like in a day.
They use the terminal regenerator. Hello.
Maybe they just put some Neosporin on his face. That makes cuts go away really fast.
At what level of technology would you say these guys and gals are at?
Well, they're about to develop warp engines, so I'd say above us.
Right. But everything else seems pretty like near future, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like sci-fi near future where everyone just tells themselves, oh, this is coming in just 30 or 40 years. And we'll be saying that for the next 200 years.
Meanwhile, they still have CRT televisions everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't listen.
You can't predict things like liquid crystal displays.
You can't predict things that don't exist in the world.
So Riker wakes up while he's being examined by a couple guys in suits at the hospital, and they're asking him about his kind of freakish body. And he's like, yeah, we noticed also that you have implants on your head, and that's weird. And he's like, no, that's fine. My name is Rivas Jakara. I'm from the southern continent. I'm here as a tourist. And he says he was caught in the riots and when the police moved in. And he tries to leave. He's like, I gotta get out of here. I'm bouncing. And they're like, no, you can't go anywhere. And also he's too injured to fucking stand up.
Yeah. You can tell he's kind of like struggling due to all of his head injuries to remember what his cover story is. So it's not helping his cause.
No, it's not. He's like trying to think of things like, I'm not making this up on the spot. I swear I had this prepared.
I have a doctor. Yeah, that's right. I have a doctor at home. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, the doctor understands her. Oh, but you're not going to be able to get a hold of her because she's an alien. That's not what I said.
She's going to the space Poconos.
He like, they ask her, oh, why can't we get a hold of her? And he's like, pauses for a minute and he's like, she's on a sabbatical.
That's the best he got.
But he explains that he had cosmetic surgery because of birth defects. And they're like, oh, like the birth defects on your hands, huh? And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm a freak. I'm a weirdo, baby. What am I doing here?
Stop.
I don't believe
you're not clever. I know what you're doing.
Anyway.
I don't care if it hurts.
Stop!
But he's like, yeah, my father had the same birth defects. And they're like, you really expect us to believe that? And they're like, oh, we also found this in your possession. And they hold up his phaser. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's just a child's toy. I was taking it home. But I thought you said you didn't have any family. It's for a neighbor's child. What, I can't give gifts to my neighbor's kids? And they're like, no, that's weird. It's a little weird.
It's a little sus.
But he asks them too, like, oh, I had something else, a piece of jewelry. You didn't happen to recover that? And they're like, no, sorry. So no combats for Riker.
I guess they weren't actually like keeping that from him, because I don't think we ever see it.
No, I'm sure it was lost. It's just on that planet somewhere. Somebody eventually is going to be like, this is alien technology.
I was expecting Krolla at some point to be looking at the receiver and be like,
he's hitting it. Test, is anybody out there? So the hospital staff leaves this room, and there's one really paranoid guy who's like, he's an alien. We got to contact Central Security about this. And the hospital boss guy, the director, is like, no, we need to thoroughly check out his story first. We got to see if there's anything in the medical records that match his weirdness, you know, just chill. We're not going to make a big panic over this yet.
Make a big panic about this.
This is where the episode really starts to drive in that they're doing something different here, because instead of like going to the Enterprise or doing anything like that, we instead go to a meeting at the alien chancellor's office with his staff. This alien chancellor Durkan is meeting with his staff, and they're talking about the prototype for a warp engine that they're developing. And some nerd in glasses is like, you don't want to go to space. People are going to think it's a bad idea. They're going to get mad about it. And they're like, shut up, Krolla. We don't care what you have to say. But they set
this
up
guy sucks.
The chancellor has actually done a lot of social reforms and a lot of good for the people. But apparently they're moving away from their traditions a little too fast for some people. So
Krolla does a great job of being an annoying asshole.
He really does.
Yeah, he sucks so much.
He does. And he's part of the reason why the last part of the episode is kind of like bleh, because it's just like, man, I'm tired of this guy. Go away.
Yeah. It's also like distressingly true to life in a lot of ways, but.
Yeah. He's too believable as a poo-poo head.
Yeah, that's kind of thing. Yeah. That's part of what brought me down a little bit too. but yeah, Krolla basically just exists to say, well, I. What's the best way to put this?
Yeah.
Krolla just exists to be conflict man, I guess, which is not the higher tier of Star Trek conflict things that can happen, where it's just one guy that gets in the way and isn't necessarily evil, but always gets in the way.
I don't know. I think that petty government bureaucrats who are really paranoid and xenophobic are a little evil. Just a little evil. They could possibly do some evil things, maybe, historically.
Name one example.
Let's move on. So the science minister lady goes to her office alone, and Captain Picard and Counselor Troy beam down. Wow. And she's like, what the fuck? And they're like, don't be alarmed, Mirasta Yale. And they explain who they are. Like, hey, we're aliens. Hi. And they're like, we've been monitoring your scientific progress, and you're about to reach warp technology. So we like to, you know, come and say hi, make an introduction rather than have an encounter in deep space. And we reach out to the scientific leaders first, because scientists tend to be more accepting of this for some weird reason. And she's like, okay, somebody put you up to this, right? This is a fucking joke. This is not for real. And they're like, oh, no, we are actually aliens. We're going to prove it to you. And she's like, okay, go ahead. So they beam her up to the Enterprise.
I think there's a better way to do this than just to fucking like beam down behind someone. You know, like maybe put like a transmission out there or something. Like be like, hey, we can read you, we're in space, yada yada, rather than just to fucking be like nothing personal.
Nah. you gotta tear that band-aid off right instantly.
This is why they do the reconnaissance, though, to know how it's going to be accepted. And she is very accepting of it. She's just like, whoa, aliens, cool. So like, this is why they go to her first.
You're right.
So they take her to 10 forward, and she gets to look at her planet like so many other women have done on this ship. I actually read it's only four times it happens, and one of them is in the movie.
It is funny that they list on the wiki, this is the fourth time Picard has taken a female alien up to look at her own planet.
It keeps happening, though. It's worth mentioning.
He likes it. Thinks it's funny.
It's an impressive sight.
It used to happen a lot in season one, if I recall, where he would just like he liked to freak people with the fucking food dispenser and the vision of their own planet. His favorite prank.
Well, it was in Justice Alien, and she was just like, "Oh, you must be gods," and she's like, and they're like, "No, shut up, we're not gods, shut up." But you're in the sky with God, and then I already forget what the second one was, but. God, what was the second?
It was probably something really good.
No, it was Who Watches the Watcher with the Renaissance Fair Vulcans.
Yeah! Oh, I forgot about that.
I like that episode. That is a good episode. So this is the third time this happens now. We just keep doing it. But she's just like, wow, that's really cool. And she tells them, she explains to them that this was a kind of a childhood fantasy for her, that she used to go to the planetarium with her parents and just imagine she was traveling to different stars out there, and because she's a big nerd. And she's like, so how did you know about me, though? And they explain that they do try to learn everything about a planet before they make contact by monitoring their broadcasts and their media, you know, their journalism and their humor. And she's like, oh, I'd hate to imagine what you think of us based off our TV shows. and Picard is like, yeah, it does paint a really limited picture, which is why we also at Tug's collar. we also send some people down to do reconnaissance on the surface. And she's like, she looks a little horrified at this. She's like, you do what now? But she understands why. She's like, no, I get it. I mean, you want to know all the information you can. But she's like, other people in my society would be upset about this. So you probably shouldn't tell them.
It's kind of, I don't know. It's a little sus. I'm going to say it's a little sus. But
it makes perfect sense for them to do it. But at the same time, I don't think any civilization would take that well.
No.
Like, oh, you've been spying on us. Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a little, you know, it does have that kind of air of, we are the moral superior people, so what we're doing is correct, and you can't be mad at us. Sorry.
I don't know.
That's kind of the feel I get from it.
I can see both sides of it. But it is also very much that. The whole first contact procedure is very much that. Like, yeah, we're your betters. We're just here to say hi. Make sure you don't fuck up the universe.
Yeah.
So they also tell her, though, that they've kind of rushed these procedures because Riker has gone missing, and explained that they wanted her help in looking for him, and they give her his alias to help find him. And she's like, and they ask her, too, like, well, what do you think your chancellor is going to say about this alien stuff? And she's like, you know, he's going to be open-minded but cautious, but I would not tell him about the reconnaissance missions. That would be very bad and would go very badly. And they're like, but Riker? And she's like, let me look for Riker. Just don't tell him about this. He's going to get mad. She explains that their ideology is based off of the idea that they are a supreme race and their planet is the center of the universe. So awareness of other life forms and civilizations in the universe is going to change their entire way of life. And some will not want it to change.
Yeah, I feel like that's how our... So one thing that isn't clear to me, I guess, are they like a unified society down there? Is he like the chancellor of the entire planet?
They do suggest that at one point, yeah, that they have a world government and that he is the ruler of the entire government of the world.
Okay.
I think there's at one point where he has Mirasta in his office and he's like, when you sit in this chair and you're elected to take care of the whole fucking planet, you know, or something like that. I'm pretty sure it is a world government.
Seems that way.
It does seem that way. It's just, it's, again, so similar to certain periods of American history that you want to assume that there's a Cold War going on somewhere in the world with another government. But no. Maybe they just finished a bunch of wars and shit, and that's why things are so tense and stuff. No, seriously, because they have this chancellor in here who is doing a lot of, like, societal reforms, you know? Maybe they're, like, 20 years off of a big world war or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I just think it's funny to think of them saying, ah, finally, we just finished that war.
We're time to relax and nothing's gonna... Aliens! What?
Ah, Jesus.
Ah, jeez Louise.
It's always something. At the hospital, tensions are still rising, but the administrator still doesn't want to do anything yet. So he goes to talk to Riker, and he kind of just straight up asks him if he's an alien. And Riker's like, what? No, that's silly. Of course I'm not an alien.
Riker, you're not gonna fool anybody.
The administrator wants so badly to believe him, though. He's like, I don't want to be made a fool of. I would really like to believe this. But the thing is, you are definitely hiding something. And until you tell me what it is, these rumors are going to persist and things could become dangerous, especially for you. And Riker's like, geez.
Hmm.
So Mirasta does introduce Captain Picard to Chancellor Durkin, who's just like, what, aliens? And they take him up to the Enterprise, and we kind of repeat the Mirasta scene, but with Durkin now, we're like, oh, this is the Enterprise, this is where we do this, this is the bridge, etc. He's really overwhelmed, though, and he asks to speak to Picard privately in his ready room. Not in his ready room. He says, is there anywhere we can speak privately? So they go to his ready room, and Picard pours them both a glass of wine from his brother's vineyard, which is, continuity-wise, this is the bottle of wine that his brother gave him at the end of Family.
Wow, he's wasting it on this bozo?
I know, I was thinking that too. Like, wow, this is really what you want to use this for? Whatever, I guess you can get another bottle at some point.
I guess you can always just show up and be like, yo, bro, I need another one for Delta.
You got any more wine for me? We technically don't have a currency.
This is my diplomacy wine. I need more.
We got another first contact. I really love, too, Picard explaining to him, like, he makes it from this fruit called grapes. It makes it into wine, you see. And we have this thing called a toast, where we say, you know, to honor new beginnings and friendships and whatnot. And so he gives him a toast.
Yeah. And the other guy's like, okay, sure. Whatever.
Yeah, he's just nodding like, whatever. Oh, yeah, we got something like that. He's like, we got wine on our planet, too, dude. It's not that special. But Durkin is suspicious of him in a way that you'd expect someone from the 20th century to be suspicious of aliens that are coming, to be like, yeah, we're friends. He's like, yeah, I'm. Are you conquerors or what? Because our history is full of people who came saying like, oh, yeah, we come in peace, who are actually conquerors. And Picard's like, oh, no, we're definitely not here to conquer you. We don't care about that. He said, we're here to guide you into a new era. And the last thing we want to do is interfere with your planet's natural progress. That is, in fact, our prime directive. Ha ha. So Durkin, being a smart guy, intuits that this means they won't be sharing all of their technology with the Malconians either. And Picard's like, well, to transform a society with technology like that all at once would be harmful and destructive. And Durkin goes, of course, you're right. But my question is, is that right? Do you think that's right? These fucking Federation people, they got technology that can eliminate, disease, starvation, all sorts of shit to make society a better place.
It's for the greater good. It's for the greater good.
But what's the harm? I don't.
This is why you're not fucking Starfleet Captain Mira. All right.
There's many reasons why I'm not a Starfleet Captain. I wouldn't pass the physical, man.
Listen, you gotta follow Prime Directive. You can't give someone anti-cancer pills, because what if that makes it like, what if they hoarded all those pills and then that ruins the economy or society somehow?
Well, I thought that this isn't how I thought that, and I've seen this before too, so I must have forgotten, but this isn't how I thought that the Prime Directive worked, because I thought once a society had reached that level of warp technology, then it was just kind of a free-for-all of like exchange of ideas and all that. But apparently they still kind of trickle it out and don't just share.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, it's you would think that they could like trade and stuff normally, but the implication here is that they are just gonna say, okay, maybe once you guys can drive to our store, then we'll allow you to buy stuff.
When you can send some people to our schools, we'll teach you how to do this shit. But in the meantime, you got to figure this shit out. I guess that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, it's fucked up that they have so much life-saving technology and they're just like, we're going to hold on to it. We don't need to share this shit.
Yeah, remember the episode where the crying child was calling Data on the phone and Picard was like, damn you, Data, manipulating me.
They had to have a fucking secret closed door meeting in Picard's quarters about it. Like, ooh, are we going to save these people or not? It's a tough decision.
Silly old Starfleet.
So, Durkin does seem open to this alien thing, though, and friendly enough. And he says, has this little anecdote about how every day when he gets home, he has dinner with his wife and his two daughters, and they ask him if he had a good day. And he's like, you know, today I'm going to have to say, yesterday I thought I was the leader of the free universe. And today I realize I'm just a voice amongst many choruses or something. I don't remember exactly what he says. But I think it has been a good day.
To die.
No. Yeah. Back on the planet, Riker is trying to escape his hospital room, like by throwing a bench out of a window. He's attempting to, but a nurse or something walks very in behind pathetic him. He wouldn't have done it. It was
he had it up there.
It was the one flew over a cuckoo's nest escape. He was gonna go for it. But she warns him, the nurse that comes in behind him. She's like, there are guards posted out there. You'll never make it that way. You know, I could possibly distract the guard for you, if you really wanted to escape. Because she's like, I always wanted to meet an alien. And he's like, well, I'm not an alien. Sorry to disappoint you. And she's like, I don't believe you. And by the way, this is Bebe Neuwirth. This is the actress who played Lilith on Cheers and Frasier. She's great. They wrote this scene just for her.
She just wants the fucking alien.
She just wants the fucking alien so bad.
God bless her.
I love her though. And he's like, he leans into that. He's like, okay, well, I'm an alien. I got to return to my ship. Then you're gonna help me, right? And she's like, well, I could, but why should I? You know. And he's like, well, because you wanted to. I got to go back to my ship and be with my other alien friends. And she's like, well, I will help you, but you have to make love to me first. And he's like, oh, geez, you know, I gotta go. I'm in a hurry here. He's looking at his watch like, oh. She's like, it won't take long. And she's like spreading a sheet on the bed. She's like, come on. he's like, well, there are some biological differences, you know, that will make this complicated. And she's like holding his hand. I can't wait to learn them.
Riker, you were born queen for this.
But the thing is, they fucking do it.
Well, Riker would never say no.
Apparently not. Oh my god!
I just honestly, the thing I'm surprised is that he didn't look at the camera and go, "The things I do for Starfleet."
He should have. Then it would have been a good show.
No, that breaks Gene Roddenberry's rules too hard. Sorry, you can't break the fourth wall. They have this though. That's how that scene ends, and the next scene opens with her distracting the guard for him, and he's leaving the hospital room, and she's just like, "Will I ever see you again?" And he's like, "You know what? The next time I'm in your star system, I'll give you a call," is what he says to her.
I wish he would lie like this.
Oh, I wish you. Yeah, I'm glad he did. Let her keep her hopes. But he walks down the hall and he gets like 5 fucking feet before someone recognizes him.
That's the part I don't get. Why did all of this happen?
Because it was funny.
I mean, they wrote this like as a last minute addition to the plot just for BB.
Oh, really?
So yeah, so that's probably why it happened. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have just like left the room and tried to walk down there by himself. But because she obviously did not help him escape very hard.
No, he made it like 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, and they're like, the alien.
No, she told that one guy, whoa, that guy, I think he's dead. You better go get some doctor.
He never would have made it that far if she hadn't done that. But he gets the shit beat out of him right there in the hospital hallway.
Yeah.
And the hospital director has to be like, hey, stop it. Get off him. That's it. I'm calling Central Security. We've had enough of this shit. So Chancellor Durkin is meeting with his staff and he tells them all about the aliens. He's like, guess what? I met this alien. God, what a meeting to be in. And his security officer, Krolla, the guy with the glasses, immediately is like, they're a big threat to us. I can't believe you don't see that. You're both brainwashed by these aliens. And they're like, no, it's fine. They come in peace. Like, my foot, they come in peace. And then he drops the bombshell that they've caught one of the alien spies. And Marasta immediately knows it's Commander Riker. And Durkin's like, you knew about this? And she's like, yeah, they told me about it. And I urged Picard not to discuss this with you because I knew this would happen. I knew you'd get all upset. And so it's a little
awkward. Should have been a lot more forthcoming with this, to be fair. Like,
absolutely. Like, this was not her call.
This is like the wrong call to make, to be like, all right, I'll just keep secrets from my government about aliens being on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, her heart was in the right place, but she really needed to trust her chancellor on this and let him make these decisions, because this would have gone a lot better for everybody if she had told him the truth.
It was honestly a bad idea I guess that was her idea. It was just not to tell him in the first place. Fuck, that was dumb.
It was really dumb. And it was dumb of Picard to go along with it, too.
I forgot the other reason that they had to put that scene in the show was because when he was saying, well, you know, there are some biological differences. And then she's like, you know, oh, I can't wait to learn. And she is specifically looking at his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to point that one out. You know, because, you know, they don't have fingers.
They don't have fingers.
So, is
your implication here that they don't have penises either?
They're more into suction play.
She just wants to know what those fingers can do.
What those fingers do? What those toes do? I don't think they had enough time to fully explore this for her. Sorry, lady.
What a shame.
It's just such... I'm not complaining about that scene at all because I love that scene. It's just so funny that it's in there. You know, this episode's so serious otherwise, but also Riker gets to fuck Alien.
I'm happy for Riker, I guess.
I don't know. It feels like it wasn't fully consensual on his part, but it's it's an awkward situation, but you know, you gotta do what you gotta do sometimes, I guess. So,
if I'm ever on an alien planet, I will follow Commander Riker's example.
You gotta fuck your way through the alien babes to get out, so you can get beaten up 5 feet later.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it.
So Krilla says he's gonna interrogate Riker, and he goes to do that, to interrogate the badly injured Riker, who's unconscious because he's been beaten near to death. He was already really injured. They mentioned that his kidneys, they say his renal organ, but his kidneys are like ruptured and he's bleeding internally. So he's in a bad shape. But he orders the hospital director, Krilla does, to revive him. And the hospital director refuses because good for him. He's like, I have sworn an oath to do no harm. I'm not going to fucking revive this man. It will kill him. I'm just not going to do that. I don't care if he's an alien. He's a living being and he deserves to not be dead like that. And Marasta is also there, too, because she's probably trying to tell Krilla that she is telling Krilla, hey, don't do this. You'll kill him. And he's like, I don't care. Revive him. But the hospital director still refuses. So Krilla leaves, saying he will find someone who will.
Jack Bauer definitely would have revived him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jack Bauer would have revived him and immediately waterboarded him.
Why he's my king.
You heard it here, folks. Pace loves water.
No, I hate 24. I tried watching 24 like a few months ago, and it's unbelievable how off the fucking rails that show goes. Like, I think in episode one, his like daughter goes missing or whatever, and so he's like talking to his like direct supervisor. He doesn't actually like do anything suspicious, but Jack Bauer is just like, oh no, I don't really trust this guy. He goes from just like kind of being a guy in the office to drugging his direct superior and like tying him up within like the first 10 minutes of the show. He just doesn't give a shit.
He has his instincts. You gotta trust your gut.
Okay.
That's how you know he's here for America.
That show was a trip when it first came out. I watched that week to week and God, it was like nonstop. You know,
well, you know, they don't have time to go to the bathroom in this show.
Well, you have time, like you have to think about it, but like they would show other people for like 5 minutes, so you assume that Jack pissed in that time. You know what I mean? Anyway, 24. So Picard goes to see Durkin. And Durkin's pissed off at him, of course. He's like, what the hell, Picard? I thought we were talking about trust and shit, and you got spies on my planet. And Picard's like, I'm sorry. You know, Marasta insisted, but sorry. I know that was my bad for not disclosing it. And he's like, you're goddamn right it was your bad. But he explains that we had really bad first contact procedures with this race called the Klingons, and we had like decades of war. And so since then, we've been really trying to like get all the information we can before we make contact with people, just so we don't have that happen. And it's really controversial even amongst us to do this, but I believe that it is done more good than harm. And Durkin's like, yeah, whatever, bro. I don't care. Picard's like, can we have our officer back? And Durkin's like, I'll give him back after we interrogate him. And Picard leaves.
If only this was handled better.
If only they had known ahead of time. Back at the hospital, Krolla has found a replacement for the hospital director. It's the paranoid guy from the beginning of the episode.
Yay!
And he dutifully revives Riker while Marasta leaves. Marasta goes to see Durkin, and she's like, yeah, I know I fucked up. I'm sorry. And he's like, yeah, I would be asking for your resignation if I didn't need your knowledge about this space shit. And she's like, I know, but... like, Riker's gonna die if we don't do something, because and our chance of peaceful relations with them is probably gonna die as well, because like, he's seriously injured and he's not gonna like handle being revived he's gonna die if we don't let Picard know where he is. She just lays it out for him. So Krolla is interrogating Riker, who keeps telling him like, yeah, we're on a mission to peace, and Krolla's like, well then what do you need these phasers for, huh? Huh, child's toy my ass, and he like knocks over a fucking hospital instrument.
Yeah. Well, this is the part where the episode is like really just losing me, where he and Riker are just having a little tiff back and forth.
And Riker's like, too out of it to really have a tiff. No, he's just like, can you please call my friends? I'm dying.
It's Krolla being like, oh, what do you have this for? What do you have this for? And Riker just there, just hanging out, going like, oh.
I'm dying. And Pacola's like, well, I know that Durkin is soft and he's gonna like buy your peace shit, but I can't let that happen. So he's explaining to the dying Riker that he's going to be a martyr. He's like, you're gonna kill me and they're gonna see that that you're bad, and I'm gonna save my race. And so he puts the phaser in Riker's hand, and Riker like struggles a little bit, but he's still fucking dying. And he just looks at the phaser. He's like, but Krolla shoots himself with it, knocks his ass on the floor. And someone comes into the room like, he shot him. Oh no. But luckily who beams down, but Dr. Crusher and Worf and some other guy.
And the episode ends.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about earlier when they're in the Chancellor's office and Picard just fucking beams into this guy's house. He's like, hey, what's up? I'm here. Hey, we're gonna talk right now, okay? Hey.
Yeah, he's a busy guy. He's a chancellor. You gotta make appointments.
You gotta call him first. You know what? If you're in, you when you're talking to people in spaceships, you always call them first. But yeah. No, now you're just like, I'm just gonna beam wherever I want. Now I'm Picard.
I have the power to do this. I'm just gonna beam in, neener neener. But Dr. Crusher beams down, and I like how she's immediately like, "Don't be afraid. I'm a doctor. Like you're still an alien. They've never seen one before. Well, except for Riker. I guess he counts." He's got shit on his head though, so it's different. Yeah. So they take both Riker and Krolla back up to the Enterprise. Meanwhile, they're letting Durkin and Picard and Marista, who are all hanging out together, know, hey, Riker's about to die. We're taking up to the Enterprise. Krolla's also been injured. We're taking him too. So they all meet again on the Enterprise, and Dr. Crusher tells Picard and Durkin that Riker very nearly died, and it's extremely lucky that they got to him when they did, not a moment later, because he was so close to death. And he asks about Krolla, and she's like, well, Krolla was never in any real danger because the phaser was set to stun. And they're like, what, stun? And they're like, yeah, it's a defensive weapon, but go on. And she's like, yeah, and it appears he had his hand on the phaser when it fired. And so Durkin's like, oh, so he was struggling for the weapon. And she's like, no, Riker was not in a state to struggle with the weapon. And they're like, oh, you fucking moron, Krolla. You tried to be a martyr, you goddamn idiot, Krolla.
He's always doing this.
Like, have fun.
I love that Durkin just holds his hand and he's just like, Krolla, my foolish old friend. And Krolla wakes up and he's like, where am I? You can't trust them, Durkin.
Where are my terrible glasses?
I can't see where I am. Everything's too blurry. But you can't trust the aliens. And Durkin's really, just...
Krolla has the worst glasses ever.
He does.
It needs to be said. The transparent Coke bottles. You can't have a worse look.
I think his glasses are part of what gives me such 50s vibes about this episode, honestly. But Durkin's like,
probably
I know.
Just his real glasses from real life.
Friend, I know. So they have this nice little meeting in Picard's ready room where Durkin's like, yeah, we're not ready for this alien thing. He's like, I asked you, Picard, if I asked you to leave, you'd said you'd do it. So I'm afraid I am going to have to ask you to just do that. And Marasta is like, well, we can't do that. Like, what are we going to do when we encounter aliens in space then, huh? And he's like, bad news. We're going to have to delay the warp program. We're not going to fucking space. And she's like, what? But aliens. And he's like, we can't. We're going to have to like take those resources and put them into education to get our people less boneheaded, which is a good idea, honestly. But Marasta is just like, I have just have one request, Captain. Take me with you. And he's like, you know, we're not going to be back here in your lifetime, right? And she's like, I don't care. I've lived to be among the aliens all my life.
This doesn't make any sense to me. Why? Okay, sorry, go on.
I think that's it. That's the episode pretty much fucking ends there. Picard's like, well, yeah, sure, okay, you can stay.
Yeah, why did he say yes?
Why not?
Why would he?
What's
he
just the like, harm?
They're not a planet that's a part of the Federation. I mean, whatever. But like, they're not like a space or warp-ready planet yet, technically.
Yeah, that's fine.
So what's they're just like, hey, you want to come with? All right, LOL.
Well, they were really close, though, is the thing. I think, like, and I don't know. It's really inhumane, I would say, to show somebody that they are a tiny part amongst, like, a number of civilizations out there. Somebody who's dreamed of that their entire life. And then just be like, oh, you're just stuck on your planet forever. Goodbye. You know, like it, oh, and she knows problem. She's never going to be home again, but that's what she wants. She wants to be out there in the stars and exploring new things.
Yeah, she's going to like get fired anyway.
Yeah, she's
not
going
to be allowed to work on her spaceships. So I was like, well, just what's wrong with taking her with us? She already knows everything anyway.
Yeah. It's not like they're going to do the memory erasing again, right? Right? I like that they address that, too, where Picard asks them, like, well, I mean, we already had encounters with Riker on your planet. Like, isn't that going to be an issue? And they're just like, no, people will just forget about that. Like, they would, though. That's so honest.
That was the most legal part. Yeah, where he just says,
yeah, people will forget about it when they watch the evening entertainment broadcasts. Because yeah, they're not allowed to say TV.
And he's like, the people that witnessed it will be ridiculed for saying that it happened. It's just like, fuck, like,
damn,
dude.
Damn, go off.
I mean, that is like the most, yeah, like, no one would actually believe you. If, like, you know, Roswell, let's say, was real, mm-hmm. people would just be like, yeah, fucking whatever you say, dude. You're just an MP at a random base trying to make your life seem interesting. No way there's an alien.
Yeah, in 30 years, there's just going to be TV programs about Riker in the fucking hospital. Remember, there was an alien in the Capitol Hospital.
It will be hosted by Jonathan Frakes, and you'll have to know whether it was real or fake.
Okay, I was trying to remember this, and I needed to look this up, actually, but I think I was wrong. I'm just mixing it up in my brain. But, like, there was a Fox did a special where they pretended that they had an alien that they were autopsying. Remember Fox's alien autopsy special? Was that hosted by Frakes, or is that my memory failing me?
I don't remember.
Let's see.
Fox Alien aired Autopsy. Its infamous Alien Autopsy in 1995.
It was hosted by Jonathan Frakes. I did remember right. So that was Alien Autopsy Factor Fiction. Was the Factor Fiction show even on yet? Was this like the beginning of it? Fucking
hell. We're gonna have to do some fact finding here.
Man, the 90s were such a weird time.
They just didn't know what to do, and there wasn't the Cold Wars.
Yeah, we were between the internet and the Cold Wars, so we had to just, you know, put aliens on TV and pretend they were real. Yeah.
Everyone was all into those aliens, you know. They got X-Files on them. Mm-hmm. They got Men in Black. That's everything. That's all of the aliens.
They had the Star Treks.
That's true. Aliens on that. That's true. It's true.
It was an alien obsessed nation. Anyway, it's a good episode.
I can't relate to any of this. I never saw X-Files.
Really?
Yeah. X-Files came out what, in the 90s or something? I was a baby.
When it was airing.
When was X-Files?
90s. It was like the mid-90s, late 90s.
It was
late
90s. Later 90s.
Let me see. Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah. It was like 96. I mean, I think it started in 94 or something, didn't
times.
It?
Oh, it went all the way to 2002.
Okay. So I probably shouldn't say... Merc, X-Files debuted the year I was born.
Yeah, I know. I know you're a baby.
I'm not a baby.
But you're a little baby.
93 okay, is a lot earlier than I thought. Okay. I thought it was like 99.
But it went for 11 years, mm-hmm. So you had time to watch it. So
I mean, I was like 10 when I was watching it, so what's your excuse, Ace?
Yeah. Yeah.
It scared me, too. It scared me really badly. I shouldn't have been watching it when I was like 10.
You got to watch it so that you can get the jokes when they show up on The Simpsons. That's important.
But I did. I did watch just enough X-Files to get that episode.
Is it worth looking back or watching The X-Files in the year our Lord 2023?
Yeah, there are some really good episodes of The X-Files, but a lot of it is kind of boring. I don't know.
Is it one of those shows where it's like, after season 5, just dip?
There's a few super memorable episodes that I would probably recommend, and it's also super like episode of the week like TV shows were back then, so you could just get away with watching those probably.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched all of it. I'll tell you, I haven't watched all of that show, and I probably will never do that because the long plot stuff was real boring to me in that. And David Duchovny leaves the show at one point entirely, like he's like, I've done enough of this fucking show, and so they replace him with some other agent. It doesn't work. You can't replace Mulder. It doesn't fucking work.
You gotta replace Mulder. No one believes in that guy.
I believe in Mulder.
You ever hear of the knife alien?
No.
That's one of the things.
I understand.
I didn't. Anyway, that was First Contact. Pretty good episode. So the movie, like I said, the movie's got the same name, but it actually, I'll spoil this to you, Hayes. The movie is about time travel, and it's about the first contact that humans have with the Vulcans.
Oh, that seems like it would be interesting.
It is. Like, it's not a bad movie, and that one I'd be down to watching. The others, I don't know. But it's definitely worth experiencing, because it does kind of go all around these same themes, too, just like they're humans. Also, there's a bunch of Borg shit, which is more or less bad. But that's it. So next week, we're going to be talking about Galaxy's Child, which is where the Enterprise has a baby.
Yeah. I'm excited.
The Enterprise, I guess, adopts a baby is more technically. The Enterprise does not birth the baby. It just adopts a baby. But it's a cute episode. Tune in. You'll enjoy it.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good episode. You should look forward to it. Mm-hmm. He's a bit of a whiny space baby, but, you know, they often are. It's much better than the child, the other baby episode.
It's not the child. Can we just like rewatch the child instead?
No.
You don't want to do that. No. Trust me, this one's much better. So tune in. Thank you guys for listening out there. If you have any questions or comments, please email them to us at beammetosickbay@gmail.com. We love to hear from you as always. Thank you, McFreeze. Thank you, Hayes, for being here talking about Star Trek.
Hey, yeah.
We will do this the next week.
Bye-bye.
See ya.